Let me ask you, how is your prayer life? Is it great? Is it okay? Could it use some work? I would imagine if you're like most of us, it could probably use just a little bit of work. Well, that is what today's broadcast is all about as we continue our journey in Colossians, where Paul says to pray and then pray some more. The details coming up next, as well as the encouragement here on Growing in Grace. Again, hi, welcome. This is Growing in Grace with Pastor Steve Ballantyne, our senior pastor here at San Gabriel Community Church. You'll find us online at growingingraceradio.org as well as sangabrielcommunity.org. And today, here in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2, the simple call to pray and then pray some more. It is an encouraging look at prayer and what it should be in our lives, what it should look like, and how to go about changing things if they need to be changed to make it reflect just exactly what Christ is longing for us in our lives. Here's Pastor Steve with all the details.
A devoted prayer life must consist of deep, purposeful, focused times set aside for the purpose of prayer. We could illustrate this a lot of different ways to make the point, but when people say that we're Facebook friends, or he's my friend on Twitter, I think, what does that mean? Like, how can you be... It seems like we've diluted the word friend if you can be a Facebook friend, and I understand the context. But is that real friendship? Is that real relationship? Or Twitter? And I think sometimes that's how we treat our relationship with God. And we create a false sense of closeness, a false sense of intimacy, because we're crying out in crisis all day long, but we've never sat down and had a deep conversation and ask, what do you think, and what are you teaching me, and what is your will, and what are your thoughts, and these are my hurts, and these are my struggles. I think the same basic principle applies to praying while you fall asleep. I've had people suggest, and maybe some of you are in this camp, that it's just rude. I mean, you wouldn't just fall asleep in the middle of a conversation with your wife. Right? So it's just rude to fall asleep in the middle of a conversation with God. I don't believe that. Unless that's the totality of your relationship. You remember, don't you? Come on, is it that long ago? Do you remember? You're dating, and there you are, you're at home, and you're missing your girlfriend or your fiance, and so you call her up, and it's midnight, and you're both in bed falling asleep, and eventually the voices just wander off, and there you are sitting on the phone, right? Oh, you've done it. Don't pretend you haven't done it. See, I don't see that as rude. It's an expression of a desire to be with the person, and as you fall asleep, you're going to fall asleep. I don't think it's rude with God, unless it's the totality of your relationship. If your totality of your relationship with your girlfriend is a conversation that's happening at 1 o'clock in the morning as you fall asleep, you're in trouble. Same thing with God. So we need to make a plan in regard to when. There needs to be specific times devoted to prayer, not just crying out in crisis and not just as we fall asleep at night. You say, okay, well, Steve, well, how long do I have to pray for it to be a deep, personal time of prayer with God? I don't want to give a specific number. I think it'd be dangerous for me to do that, to say that true spirituality is discovered when you give this much time to prayer. It needs to be enough to honestly say you've been in communion with God. It needs to be enough to say you've honestly fellowship with God, that you've sought the face of God, that you've brought petitions to God that he commands us to bring before him, that you've bore your soul to God, you've cast your burdens on God. There's various examples from Scripture. I've used all of these over the years. There's the example in the Psalms of crying out to God 7 times a day. Maybe that's what you do. Or maybe Daniel's approach is easier. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. You remember that? That 3 times a day, even after the law was passed, he would go to his window, he'd open his window, and he'd pray to God 3 times a day. Maybe that's helpful to you. Maybe it's helpful for you to have a time in the morning and maybe devote some time around lunch for the rest of your workday and to have some time at night. There are seasons where we need to follow the example of Christ, where he's in the midst of making decisions, of calling his disciples, where he's facing the cross, where he's had a really busy day, and he tells his disciples, go to the other side of the lake. I need to go away and pray. And he spends the night in prayer. He spends the night seeking the face of God. So how long, we need to be guarded not to say that unless it's this many minutes, you're not really spiritual. But it needs to be long enough to truly pray. And I would encourage you this week to just take a step forward. If you spend 3 minutes a day, spend 10. If you spend 10, spend 20. If you spend 20, spend 30. But just to move forward in prayer, to take a step forward this week and not make it about, okay, tomorrow I'm going to start praying for 2 hours a day, because chances are you won't. And we'll move to this on how to actually pray and how to grow in that, because I understand the first time you sit down and think, I'm going to pray for half an hour, I'm going to pray for an hour, maybe you've never done that, it's going to be hard. You're going to feel like, I don't know what to say, I don't know what to do, I don't know what to pray for, I've run out of things to communicate. Well, how do we do it? There are so many things that could be said on this. And I felt like in the spirit of the command that Paul gives here, it's so straightforward, it's so simple. He doesn't complicate it at all. He just says, continue steadfastly in prayer. Be devoted in prayer. Be watchful. Be thankful. But I want to keep this simple in my instruction and my encouragement. But how do we do it? The first thing is this, just do it. You want to know how to pray? The first thing you do is just pray. You just have to do it. You just have to commit yourself to doing it. Nothing will be more effective at teaching you to pray than praying. And don't be concerned about how you sound. Don't be concerned, am I using the right words? Just talk to God. Don't be concerned if you sound holy enough. If you sound right, you know, you have a holy, you don't have to say God with God. You don't have to say it like that, right? To have a genuine prayer life. Just talk with God. Reverently, because he's God, but talk to him. He invites us to call him Abba, to call him Daddy. He is saying, I want intimacy. I want closeness. Talk to him. Nothing will help you learn to pray more than simply praying. Secondly, pray with others. Pray with others. You will grow so much in your understanding of prayer by praying with others. I could give you example after example after example of this. I'll just highlight a couple for you. Again, in college, I was in a Sunday school class at a local church, and the RD of my dorm was teaching this class. He was in charge of the college group, and I drove with him one day to church. And we get there, and there was some confusion. It was a fairly large college class. There was nobody there. It was me and him. And so here I am, me and my RD, and I'm a freshman, and we're talking, and he's like, well, what do you want to talk about? And his name was Mark. I said, Mark, would you teach me to pray? That was my question. I want to know how to pray. And he taught me a lesson that to this day, there's hardly a day that goes by in my prayer that I don't do some of what he taught me that day. And he basically said, the most effective way for him is just to start with who God is. And I said, well, what does that mean? He said, well, I start with Genesis 1. I start with Genesis 1, and I reflect on who is God in Genesis 1. Well, God is a creator, isn't he? What does that remind you about God? That he is powerful. He is all-powerful. He is eternal. He is omniscient over all things. It reminds me of his power over me. It reminds me of his power over all of creation. It reminds me that he is pre-existent. Then you just start moving on through Genesis. And you think of Genesis 12. And you think of his call of Abraham and his desire to have a people for himself and his love for people and how that plan is going to unfold through time. You move to David and you think of Moses. You think of all of these people. You think of Ruth, you think of Esther, you think of how God raises people up, how he is sovereign in all of creation, how he works through providence, through simple, normal people to accomplish his purposes. And so Mark and I said, we never got to the New Testament. We just worked from Genesis through all the stories we could think of for that Sunday school hour through the Old Testament, just thinking of who is God. I'd encourage you to start there. But Mark taught me about prayer. I give you many other examples. He's not here, so I guess I'm not embarrassing him. I suppose I embarrass his wife, possibly. But Greg Parsons, one of the things I've learned from Greg Parsons in prayer is he never seems to enter prayer as if God wasn't already in the room. What I mean by that, if you... See, he's not here, so you all can just test him on this and see if this is true. Like if we have breakfast, and when he goes to pray for breakfast, he just continues the conversation we were just having and just is like, well, God, you're already here, and now I'm specifically going to address you, and then comes out of the prayer. And so one of the things, I don't think I've ever shared this with him, but one of the things that I've learned from Greg is a reminder that God is in the room before I prayed and after I prayed. That I'm not like, okay, let's pray now and invite God into the church and then he's going to leave, but that he is part of life. He's part of the conversation. He's part of all that's happening, and I'm simply acknowledging in a unique way right now his presence. All that to say, pray with others. Don't mimic them. Don't pray with them so that you learn what words are right. But see how they pray and see how it can instruct the way you pray. Parents, I would encourage you in regard to your kids in this, as you pray with them, to direct their prayers. A child's prayers are almost always going to lean toward petition, toward request. And there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, I think there's a simpleness to that that we need to learn from as adults, just to say, God, this is what I need, and they pray for everything. And so let's not squelch that, but let's expand that. And so direct their prayers. And so I might say something like this to my kids at night. Hey, tonight, let me hear you when you pray. Just give thanks to God for 10 things that happened to your day, 3 things that happened to your day. Let's pray tonight. Before you move on to petition and request that you're hoping will happen, just pray for 3 people in your class. Or what's a missionary we could pray for? Learn, direct their prayers so that they're learning from you that it's not just, here's the 5 things I want, God. Okay, I'll be back tomorrow. But there's a broader sense of prayer. Take opportunity to pray with others. There's announcements regularly for opportunities to pray. This past year, there have been prayer meetings every Wednesday night to come and just pray. The men and the women have alternated Wednesday nights, just coming together to simply pray together. See an announcement regularly. I don't know off the top of my head. I should have asked, but Convivio Vera has an announcement where they meet and they pray. The women's ministry team this year has devoted themselves to this subject, to say we are going to be women of prayer. We're going to study prayer. We're going to pray together. We're going to offer opportunities to prayer. We're going to go on a retreat where we're not going to have a speaker. We're just going to pray. Sunday mornings at 8:30, there's a group that prays for the service. It'd be great if there were 300 of us there. Take opportunity to pray with others. So pray with others. Thirdly, read about prayer. Read biographies about prayer. Read about people who pray. There are so many great books on prayer, truly dozens and dozens. And if there's something you're looking for, come to me. I'd be glad to make recommendations to you. Read biographies about people that pray. George Mueller. You want a good dose of guilt, read George Mueller on prayer. Just to give you a taste, I can't remember where I read this. It was probably in his biography. There's this time where a friend of his is on his deathbed. And Mueller is so confident that this saint is still useful for the glory of God in the ministry that his prayer basically says that, God, you cannot take him. You have to heal him because I know that him being alive is more to your glory than him being dead. I'm confident of that. Get him better. And you read it and you're like a little bit, ugh. I mean, it's uncomfortable. The guy outlived him, by the way, by several months. Was alive for 6 more years. Unbelievable man of prayer. Read Amy Carmichael's biography. Read Elizabeth Elliot's biography. Read Martin Luther's biography. These are people who lived out lives of prayer. Fourthly, read Scripture and pray Scripture. The best book I know to recommend to you in this, if you want help with this, D.A. Carson wrote a book called Spiritual Reformation, where he walks through the prayers of Paul. It's been such a powerful book for me. Just to look at how Paul prays and say, I want to pray like that. What does Paul pray for? And you look through the introduction to Paul's letters, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and there's not one of those prayers that when you look at, you don't think, yeah, I'm good with you praying that for me. If I don't know what else to pray for, I'll pray that. To be informed by Scripture, interestingly enough, to cite Mueller again, for years he would wake up and he would pray. That was the first thing he did. And he realized, he says, that his own prayer began to lack power. And the reason was that his prayer led to a neglect of the Word. And when he reversed the order and read the Word first and then prayed, that he saw the power of his prayers greatly increase, because they flowed out of the direct revelation of God, where God is saying, this is what I will, this is what I desire. And now his prayers were in accord with the desires that God had expressed in his Word. So learn to pray Scripture. Pray the Beatitudes for people. Pray the prayers of Paul for people. Just practically speaking, I would add to this list, in terms of how to pray, vary your position and location. Is that just too practical? But you're going to find this immensely helpful. You don't have to be, is this going to be heresy for some? You know that you don't have to be on your knees with your hands folded to pray? And if that's the only position you think is righteous to pray in, you're going to probably struggle with focus. That one of the ways that we can remain alert in our devotion is sometimes you're going to pray while you walk. I know some of you do that. That you have a regular walk that you take and you use that walk as your prayer time. You can pray with your eyes open. You can pray standing up. You can pray walking around. You can pray lying on your face. You can pray in your car. You can pray from the belly of a fish, I think. You can pray anywhere. And so one of the ways that you can remain alert in your devotion is to vary the location and vary the position that you pray. Redeem the time. And then finally, just again, on a practical note of how to do this, there are lists and systems. There are none that are the list or the system, but I'd encourage you to find some system and make some lists. It'll be immensely helpful to you. I referenced it earlier, the ACTS system. I have found this simple and helpful and easy to remember. To start with adoration, to start in my prayers with who God is, his greatness, his attributes, to work through those Old Testament stories, to work through the New Testament stories, and just praise God for who he is. And then to confront my own heart and to confess anything that needs to be confessed. And then to spend time just giving thanks. Not asking for anything, just giving thanks to God for his gifts, for his goodness, for his greatness, for the gospel, for people. And then moving to supplication, A-C-T-S. Then making requests of who God is. That might be helpful to you, just to walk through that process. Sometimes I'll think of prayer in terms of circles, moving out. It helps me to move out. Maybe it helps you to move in and start from the biggest to the smallest. It helps me to move out. It seems to enlarge the way I think about prayer. To start with just praying for my family. Pray for my wife. Pray for my kids. Pray for my extended family. And then move from there to my church family. To pray through things that are in the pray without ceasing, to pray generally for the church, to pray generally for the elders, to pray for specific requests that I might know of, to pray for our church as it's an example in the city, the church and its impact on the people around us, and then to move farther out from there, to pray for our missionaries, and to think through the communities around the world that they impact, and then to move out from there and to think even more broadly than the missionaries I know, but that God's name would be praised and glorified to the ends of the earth. then to move out to there and to think, God, quickly come so that all things will be reconciled to yourself, so that we can experience the glory of Revelation 22 when after every knee has bowed and every tongue has confessed and all things are reconciled to God. So maybe use that. Maybe you want to start with that big and move inward, but maybe that's a helpful system for you. Maybe it'll help you if you just decide, I'm going to pray for these things on particular days as a way of keeping track of them. It was, I think, almost 20 years ago, good friends of ours that are missionaries in Albania, Brad and Julie Lay, they sent out a prayer request and said, we just asked that you would commit to a day of a week that you'd pray for us. And we committed to Thursday morning. So because of that, Thursday mornings has been now for 20 years, that's the morning I pray for missionaries. Now, that's not the only time I might pray for missionaries, but that is a particular focus of Thursday mornings to say, this is the missionary time because of the Lays. And it just helps me. Helps me not forget if I'm doing that every week. Lists will help you see answered prayer. I learned this in seminary. We had a prayer class in seminary, one of the hardest classes. He's a teacher was tough. He's like gracious but tough. And one of the things he encouraged us to do was to make lists. And one of the great things about lists and keeping track of them is he challenged us to develop a system where you see answered prayer. And so I just used red pen. When a prayer was answered, I just mark it in red. Can I tell you, does it feel, am I the only one? It feels like you pray and you pray and pray and there's no answered prayer. You start keeping track of it. And I'd flip back through those pages and go, there are red check marks next to almost everything. And most of the time, in retrospect, the things that there were no answered prayer for, I'd look at and think, that was a bad prayer. I didn't know it at the time. God did. But there's a reason he hasn't answered that prayer. You will be incredibly encouraged. I recognize this is a little different. I just look at this text, and there's so much in these verses to follow that I felt like we need to stop on verse 2 and be reminded of this simple command, believer, pray. Believer, pray. And before we move on from that, recognizing that's a struggle for a lot of people, how can we be more effective in this? How can I be devoted to prayer? How can I be steadfast in prayer? And I pray you hear this. There's not one way to do it. You have got to find a way in your life to make it a priority. And I recognize that that's a lot easier for me to say than for you to do. It's a lot easier for me to do than for you to do, I think, because they pay me to do it. They tell me it's part of your job. Most of you don't have that luxury. For someone to tell you, no, listen, have you prayed today? No, okay, we'll get to it. All right, yes, sir. I praise God for that because it allows me a great luxury, but we all must do it. We must remain steadfast in prayer. Will you commit yourself this week to move forward? To move forward. To make a plan, to be more dedicated tomorrow to prayer than you are today, whatever that may be, to refine your prayer life, refresh it. If you need to develop a new system because you've become mundane in yours and it's become routine and it's lost power, to revamp it, to rethink it, to commit yourself to showing up for times of prayer, that's not the death knell of every announcement. Oh, we're going to have a prayer time. Okay, well, those 8 people will show up. To know I'm going to be with the people of God and to pray when we pray. I'm going to seek out times. If it's not a time that works for you, I'm going to start a small group and we're going to pray to be people of prayer. Let's close in prayer and then in song to God in praise for who he is.
And you're listening to Growing in Grace with Pastor Steve Ballantyne from San Gabriel Community Church. If you'd like to review today's program, we invite you to visit our website, growingingraceradio.org. That's growingingraceradio.org. Review today's program or simply visit past radio programs you might have missed. More information about who we are is also available, again, growingingraceradio.org, or visit our church site, sangabrielcommunity.org. A lot of other resource materials available there, as well as information, directions, location, and service times if you wish to join us for worship here at San Gabriel Community Church. That's sangabrielcommunity.org or call 626-656-1000. Thank you for joining us. Until next time, God bless. Growing in Grace is the ministry of San Gabriel Community Church.